Boom, what's up, guys? Breakfast with Bacon here. Excited to bring you another podcast. Today's episode is Finding Your Mountain with Michael Marks. Let's get into it. All right, man. So what does it mean to find your mountain? I remember you telling me about this while we were driving a few times. It started, I think it was in like 2016, wasn't it, when you ended up in Alyeska, right? Or no, it was the, what's the other mountain?
Arctic Valley.
In the Arctic Valley.
Yeah. So, well, I definitely, like, I got that phrase from a song, actually, a Coheed and Cambria song. They're all right. They're very...
Shout out to that band.
Very inaccessible, though.
Yeah.
Because if you don't read the comics and follow the storyline of almost all of their albums, you have... It's like jumping into Endgame without watching any other movie before that. You just have no fucking idea what's going on.
Sounds cool, though.
There's, like, space battles and shit, and it's awesome, but you just have no idea why.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. I didn't know any of that existed. I just thought they sounded cool.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing. The singer literally has written comics to go with the storyline that goes through almost all of their albums.
Well, that's neat, guys. Check that out. Shout out to them. Yeah. We're not getting paid for this.
Yet.
You know, so Coheed and Cambria, you know, hit your boys up. We are horribly, horribly broke. We need help.
Fund the podcast. Anyway, so you were talking about the song created.
Well, the song was called "Peace to the Mountain," and so you were talking about that. Like, so back around that time frame, like I had gone through like a, you know, really, really bad breakup, and I was pretty broken up about that. And there's just like a lot of bad things, you know, just seeming to be popping up around me and like happening. You know, going on
a low time for like all of us. It was, I think we were just getting out of college, right? And really kind of lost on where to really go with life in general.
Yeah. And then I think, well, it didn't really help like some of the situations like we ended up in.
That's for sure.
Like we're definitely been in some unique, like a unique position, I think, where like we've seen a very large spectrum of life.
I think Alaska will do that too, and especially living in Anchorage, which isn't quite, you know, rural Alaska, so you still got that cityness going on, but you also have some of the fucked upness from that you wouldn't really see in a big, well, I guess you would see in a big city too, but a lot of the fucked upness that from the rural part, as well as the fucked upness from the city. So you learn a lot doing a lot in Alaska than you would elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, but also like, just from, like, our lifestyles.
Well, us too.
Like,
yeah, us too. Like, we put ourselves into 90% of those positions.
Pretty much. Like, there's no one else to blame but ourselves, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, like, you know, growing up, like, I know we grew up in different cities, but we both grew up, you know, we were never hungry, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes times would be a little rougher, sometimes they weren't, but, like, we always had a roof over our head and food in our stomach. So it was never like a big concern for us growing up.
Never, you know, hungry. What are you talking about? I remember waking up at 4 a.m. just being real hungry. Real pissed.
Well, you're just a fucking fat ass, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
You're telling me you didn't wake up at 4 a.m. and punch a hole through a wall while you were making eggs?
Well, I remember definitely one night, like I kept walking out of my room, then walking back in, then walking out. And it was, like, 3 in the morning, and you had, like, just gotten home from work. And you were like, are you doing okay? I'm like, I'm hungry. And then I would, like, try to go back to sleep and walk back out, like, open the fridge, close it, and then go back to my bed. And so eventually...
We didn't have snack food. Like, we didn't. That was the problem.
I think I finally, like, you were making something, and I think you're finally getting annoyed from me just constantly opening the fridge and closing it and then opening it again. So you like You like made me a sandwich and sent me to bed.
Well, there were so many times when I would be in the same position of just like, we don't have any food to just eat. Like
our broke asses only had like eggs and milk.
Eggs, that was... milk, and turkey, ground turkey.
Which ironically is not much different than what's in my fridge right now.
Well, you know, you get used to it.
Yeah, eggs, milk, and I replaced the ground turkey with ground chicken. So, you know, I'm moving up in the world.
I don't know if it's moving up. I think that's moving back.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Chicken's not... Hey, you know.
Anyways. Nice little rabbit trail, but, you know, back to my main point. Like, we've seen a very large spectrum of life, and so we've lived... You know, we've lived better, and then we've lived a lot worse. You know, we've been broke, but then we've also been in situations where we've had money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know.
Even in those times of being broke, there were some times when we were making a lot of money. And, like, we didn't have any bills or anything, you know? So it was like, but it wasn't like we really spent any of that money on, you know, moving up.
Yeah, it was literally just, like, food. Gym, the bills, and then every now and then, like, we'd go and drink.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad life.
You know, it was a simple, and it was an easy life, and I enjoyed it. But, but yeah, you know what I mean. So, like, we've kind of slummed it before, but we've also, you know, we've been well off. So, I think we've been in a very unique position where we've kind of seen a very wide spectrum of life and lifestyles.
Give people an idea of what he's talking about, slummed it. My clothes were stolen from the dryer.
We literally lived above a meth dealer.
He would walk around with a .22 of all guns and just, you know, he'd just stalk the hallways and then go to bed.
I remember coming home from work one day and, like, it was a really tiny hallway, like, from the front door to the building, like, the apartment building. And I was working at, you know, a ski resort, so I had, like, my snowboard and, like, all my, like, my snowboard gear on and everything. And I was coming in, and, like, only one person could go through that hallway at a time. And me and him were just standing there, and he was, like, shoving a pistol into his pants. And we just kind of looked at each other, and I was like, dude, I'm real tired, so, like, either you're gonna... have to shoot me or get out of my way, because I'm not stopping this train.
I remember because they had the, like, the gang outside that would sit around a car and act like they were fixing it, except that car was broken every single night.
Yeah.
What a neighborhood. It was supposed to be the rich side of the neighborhood, too.
I like how, like, we were in, like, the supposed, like, nice side of town, but, like, our little section was just this, like, it was just ghetto. It was just so ghetto.
I mean, they gave us giant two-bedroom apartments for less than $1,000. I don't know what they expected.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, this back to my original point I'm trying to make here. Is that we were in just kind of a situation where a lot of shitty shit was happening, you know, a lot of things weren't always going our way, stuff was going wrong, people around us were getting involved with really, you know, bad stuff, you know, people were getting involved with a lot of drugs and stuff like that, you know, it was just kind of a, you know, it was a rough time.
Yeah.
And I remember we had some really, really horrible coping mechanisms, but we had a couple good ones too.
Yeah.
And one of those was, like, me and you, we used to, you know, hop in my car and we would just go drive around for, like, a few hours every night.
A few hours, dude. We used to drive until sunset to dawn.
This is true. But yeah, I don't know, and that was kind of cool because whenever we did that, like, we generally, like, for the most part, when we talk, it's usually a lot of, like, shit talking and us just being, you know, stupid. But usually when we did that, we hopped in the car, we would listen to music, and then we would kind of drop all that pretense, and we'd actually, like, you know, dig into, like, what's happening around us.
Yeah.
And the stuff we were, like, finding ourselves in, the different positions we were in, and it was honestly a really healthy, you know, coping mechanism, I think. Just to talk it out, and then fucking... I'm very passionate about music, so good, you know, just sitting there jamming out, sharing songs and stuff like that. And that was just it was a very healthy way to like kind of deal with all that negativity that was going on around us. And so, and then sometimes I would just go and drive by myself. And one day I was driving and that song came on, Peace to the Mountain. And this was before I was working at the ski resort. And I remember we're working. I think I had shuffled through a couple jobs at this point. It was kind of in and out of work. It's kind of shitty because I wasn't really sure where the next paycheck was coming from, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then... You know, then also, you know, we're realizing, like, some of our worst coping mechanisms are kind of starting to take over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of, you know, drinking and a lot of drinking. You know, and getting involved with all that kind of BS.
Yeah.
And I remember I was on this car ride. I was driving from Anchorage to Girdwood. That song popped on. And it just kind of clicked with me. I was like, I love snowboarding. And I haven't snowboarded in a very long time, in like 2 years. But like snowboarding had always been a huge thing for me growing up as a kid. Like I love doing it. And it was like, it's one of those few like activities I do where it's just nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, on that car ride, you know, I listened to that song and then just, you know, hearing the song, you know, we're talking about finding, you know, peace on, you found peace on this mountain. And it just all kind of clicked with me. It's like, dude, I just need to get on a mountain.
It was a lot for me when I, the same time, like once you said it to me, it kind of clicked as well. I mean, the things that I loved wasn't doing them anymore. And I feel like a lot of people get into that idea, that mindset, and then they're like, they just don't do what they love, and then as soon as they get out there, like for me, it's a literal mountain. Like I like to hike mountains, and like as soon as I got onto it, it's a peace. You know, your life could be falling apart, but at least you're out there for a little bit, and it changes that. I remember you came back from that trip that day, and like it was so weird because just randomly, like it didn't even matter. Like it, like you were just going for a walk. You'd be like, yeah, I'm going snowboarding all day. And then you'd come back. Like, for most people, that's like they have to plan that shit, like, 2 weeks in advance before they even, like, get up and go. And it was, like, every single weekend for you, you'd be like, I'm just gonna go snowboarding. Like, yeah, if it wasn't Alyeska, it was, like, the hilltop right next to us.
Yeah, or Arctic Valley, or, you know, I was somewhere.
Yeah. And that...
You know?
That really changed. That really, like, affected me in that way. It's like, well, I'll just get up. I'll go hiking. Yeah. But just this past weekend, I was just talking to people down. We were eating a meal. And I was like, you know what I can do? I can just get up. I'm going to go hiking today. I just walked 5 miles back into the woods and decided to camp that day. And
yeah. And that's my point, you know, like. You know, even though, like, we had all this kind of really bad stuff, we weren't always surrounded by, like, the best of people. Once we started doing the things we really love doing again, you know, I started messing around with music, like, doodling around on my guitar and writing down little songs and stuff, and I would go out snowboarding. Even though, like, all that stuff was still there, like, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. And like I know ours are like an actual like physical mountain that's finding your mountain. But I don't think it just applies that, because, like, it's the same thing when I get on my longboard, which I don't do for a lot of times. And then I'll just jump on it and I'll bomb down a mountain or whatever and put a good song on. And it's like, oh, like, I needed this. Or, like, just driving. Like, driving is still a big thing to me. I'll just drive to the next town.
Yeah, I just did that, like, last night. And it wasn't that, like, anything was necessarily wrong. It was just, like, I was just kind of bored, like, had nothing really going on. You know, no one was out doing anything interesting or fun. And everyone I knew, they were just, like, sitting in their rooms drinking and stuff like that. And I didn't really want to feel like going to do that. So I just hopped in my car and just went for, like, a little drive.
It's almost like a sense of meditation, I guess, when you're doing something like that. A lot of people, it's, you know, some people it's pottery or whatever. You find your thing that you don't necessarily have to be the best at. You just are good at it because you love it, and then it really clears your mind. I've heard you even say it's like almost like a church, you know? Like you're, and a lot of people say that they're hiking or hunting, like it's their church, it's their peace of mind, their place of just really like being carefree.
I still hold to that statement, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you just need that, you know, one or two things where you can just really let yourself go and just 100% be yourself. Nothing else matters. And when you find those couple things and you start doing that and you incorporate it into your life more regularly, like, everything else changes. And it's really insane how that works.
You flip your whole life around just by doing what you love. I actually quote Gary V, sponsor us again, be great. Shout out to him.
Yeah, anyone.
Anyone.
Hey, anybody.
We'll shout you out on our podcast. That just pay us.
Yeah. Post-it note, you know. Hit your boys up. We're struggling.
We'll take $2, you know.
Anything helps.
Trying to do what you love doesn't always pay. Spiritually, you know, but not physically.
You know, I'm very happy, but, you know, I would like money. I'll even accept payment in Trident Layers.
Trident Layers is the only payment I'll take, actually.
That's fair. I can flip that for a profit, my dude.
Anyways, he said, probably could. Gary Vee says, he's like, that the, and it really hit me, it's like, they, like, people call boredom laziness, or, no, they call laziness, bad, you know, like, that you're just piece shit, but he says that, like, it's just that you don't care about what you're doing, like, you don't see anything in it. That's why you don't really feel like you want to get up to go to work, or that's why you don't feel like you want to, and like that really struck me, because it's true. Like, there's been so many things that I've just been like, I really don't want to do that, so you put it off. But when it comes to, you know, like photography, like I'll put in the work, like a lot of work, actually, like a scary amount of work. I was trying to get here to film this podcast, and I was stopping like every 5 minutes to take another picture of the sunset. Shameless plug, Austin Bacon photo. Go look it up. Shameless plug.
Yeah, I know, because we were supposed to do this like 3 hours ago.
3 hours ago.
I like texted you and you're like, yeah, I'm on top of a really big rock right now.
It's not really it's like a mountain in the water.
That's not how you described it. Right? You said it was a big rock.
It is a big rock.
Which,
with trees on
you were supposed to send me pictures and you didn't. Asshole.
I tried to, the internet, you know? Like I said, we don't make a lot of money.
Sponsors, you know, anybody. That's, anybody. I don't care.
Yeah, here's a word from our sponsors.
You know, Hobo Joe, sponsor us.
Sponsor anyone. The guy down the street, he's got us.
Hell yeah. We're making it now, boys. We're doing it.
If somebody actually gives us money from this, it'd be hilarious.
I mean, I would love that. I would love for this to become like an actual.
Just gonna plug in a word from our sponsors right here, and like, it'll make this all 10 times funnier. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you've heard, like, a lot of people, though, on a different tangent on this, do things for money all the time instead of, like, what they love. And, like, what you love can make you money. And you'll do it more. You'll work harder at it than if you're just trying to search something for money. There's a guy I work with that's all he's about. He's like, oh, I'm going to get this high-paying job, and, like, that's all I care about. Like, I'll scrub shit if it gets me six figures. You know what I mean? And you're like, dude, you're going to hate it, and you're not going to do very good at it because you don't care. Like, the money's only going to get you so far, you know? It's just my thoughts on the whole thing. I'd rather live in my car. And you know, actually, living in your car sounds like a great time. I could live in my car and camp out every night.
But yeah, there's a lot worse ways to live.
So back in those days when we were driving around, you had said something. I remember we were down on those back roads, actually, by where my aunt used to live. I think that's where we were driving all over the place. And,
yeah, it was that big-ass hill that we used to really want a longboard down.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever made it to that hill, or that particular hill.
I did it once. No, but it was over in those where they put the culverts up, or the culverts up, the blockades. And you used to be like, the clown's gonna get you, when we'd like Brody my old Bronco 2 that had no business Brodying. The thing would
turn
down on the side of the street.
we decided to become professional meme hunters and go search for the clowns. Back when that was a thing, the people were dressing up with clowns, like machetes and shit like that, running around.
I remember because you were driving, you're like, the clown's there. I was like, what? It, like, scared me one of those times. But the Brodying of the Bronco 2 was a bad decision, because remember, we were driving down just the highway, and we just took a looping turn on a highway going 60, and the thing almost flipped over.
Dude, that car was... That was something else. It most definitely was. We had no business driving that.
Dude, the thing was like a... Like... It was like a hollowed out, like...
Like, it didn't even have speakers in it. We used to get, like, a portable speaker and set it up on the dash, and that's how we listened to music.
The right-hand door, the passenger door, it didn't lock, ever. They called it the Blinkmobile.
Rest in peace.
We ran a few red lights in that thing, too, with Huck in the back. Almost.
Oh, we nearly died multiple times in that car.
I used to, once I figured out how to work the thing, I would turn the four-wheel drive off, and I would hit the ice and just start spinning it. Oh, dude, I'm surprised I'm still alive.
You know, yeah, it's a fair question. I don't know how we made it some of those times.
You know, we almost died there. Yep. Not going to say anything. Nope.
just kind of accepted it at that point. It was like, dude, I don't even give a fuck.
Anyway, like, whatever. We were down there driving around, and that's what you brought up. It was really that you didn't really care anymore. You didn't care about the expectations of what people thought once you got to really accepting like what you wanted to do, and you feel more free. And, like, the big thing was, like, you didn't really care, like, really about, like, relationships or anything like that either. It's, like, as long as you had a few good friends. And, like, where did that really come from is really my question there.
Yeah, so I guess where that came from is, I don't know, because especially when I was getting involved with, like, I got, you know, we were getting involved with some kind of bad shit, you know, like we were surrounded by it, but also our hands weren't always completely clean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've gotten some involved in some bad stuff. And then I remember once, you know, we started getting to that kind of stuff, I kind of looked to like my family and stuff and realized that they were always weren't so clean either.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just kind of like looking around me, and I was seeing these people, you know, working at this, you know, this old pallet yard, you know, with a bunch of, you know, like old convicts and, you know, stuff like that. You know, and there's like this one dude, Paulie. I'm not going to say he was a good guy, but, you know.
Shout out to Paulie, sponsor us.
Yeah, sponsor us. You know, he was decent guy to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is rabbit trail, but it was kind of weird how a lot of those people, like, they were objectively, like, bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at least towards us, like, they were always really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it's true. I mean, most of the people that we worked with were, like, in literal gangs.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, I got your back. If everybody, somebody gets you, just be like, you know me.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
And then invite us over for, like, a barbecue. I'm like, okay.
Barbecue in the middle of a park where everyone's just, like, singing songs and playing basketball and impromptu boxing matches in the ghetto. You're like, what is going on?
Don't know, but, you know, they like me, so I'm gonna keep it that way.
We leave Big Chris for, like, 5 minutes, and he gets his shit rocked in.
We went to go get his basketball shoes and, like, some beer.
And he drives up, and he slams his face into the car and smears blood all over it. Goes, hey, you guys are back. It turns out he voluntarily did that. He's just having a good time, and everybody thought of him, like, was cheering for him.
Yeah, everyone loved him. They thought he was great.
That guy was great. Anyways, you were saying about the pallet yard really got this idea.
Yeah, so that's where it kind of, like, spawned from is, you know, I saw, you know, like, this, you know, Paulie, you know, this, like, 65-year-old old convict, you know, he's just working at this pallet yard, you know, making a little more than minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just kind of looked around me, and I saw these dudes, and I was like, you know, do I want to end up like this?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even if, like, you know, they're making, you know, money enough, you know, to get by, and they're doing all right for themselves. But at the same time, you know, you're still working in this dead-end job. Like, you're still, you know, you're here. You have, you know, there's nothing really to be proud of.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing like, you know, it's not like I meet someone at a bar and I can be like, yeah, I work at a pallet yard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I started thinking about that, you know, and I started thinking about, like, well, what do I want to do with myself, you know? I think at this point I must have been, like, I think I was 20 at the time, 19 or 20. Something like that.
It was 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah.
17, maybe?
Yeah, it was 16, 17. It was somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
So it would have been, like, 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Around this time.
Yeah, it was, actually.
but yeah, you know, just kind of looking around and I'm seeing all these people. I'm like, I mean, this, you know, this isn't what I want to do with the rest of my life, you know? It's not what I want. And then, you know, I have my parents that were like, yeah, maybe you should go back to school. And I'm like, well, one, school's a lot of money. And two, like, I don't even know if that's what I want. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, look at your brother. And I'm like, well, look at my brother had a kid when he was 18. And, you know, I love my brother and I love his kids. And, you know, my nieces are great. My nephew's great. And I love them all to death. But, you know, I look at that and I'm like, well, that works for him, but that's not what I want for my life either. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking around and I'm just like, well, fuck all of you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just, as long as I'm in a place in my life where I'm happy, you know, I'm happy with the things I'm doing, you know, I'm doing the things I like, I'm working a job, you know, that either, you know, it's something I can be proud of or it's just something I really love. Like, that's what I want to do with myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to do these things. Like, I didn't want to be pushed into these different areas where, like, on one hand, I have these other people that are like, hey, man, you know, let's do this gang shit. I'm like, no, I don't want to fuck with any of that. Hey, dude, we could sell drugs. No, I don't want to fuck with that shit either. I don't fuck with that. You know, and then we'll go back to school. I'm like, well, I don't really want to go back to school. Like, that's not really for me. You know, and then, why don't you meet a girl, settle down. I'm like, well, I don't want that either right now in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like people, like, kind of, and I feel like kind of people see you, especially when you're like a young person. And like, especially from older people, they kind of emplace a lot of what they didn't do onto you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of projections.
Yeah, yeah.
They want their dreams to be executed through you.
Yeah, like they want to live that life through you.
Yeah. Vicarious.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And I see that, and it's like, well, that's all well and great for you, but that's not what I want. That's not what I want to do with myself, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's really how that, like, kind of mentality was born. And that's still something I really try hard to maintain, because I really believe, like,
it just doesn't matter what you want, you know?
Yeah. Like, you know, as long as what you're doing is what, you know, you really want to do, something you can be proud of, or, you know, something you really love, then there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Like, if you're really happy with what you're doing, what's going on, like, keep doing it, you know? Go for that. If you have some pipe dream,
go for it.
Fucking go for it. Like, I mean, why not?
And if you're not happy with what you're doing, like, figure it out, you know? Do what you want to do. I think a lot of people struggle with it. A lot of people are out there actually looking for that exact thing, you know? Like, this advice here, you know? It's like, well, how do I stop caring what people think? Well, just don't, you know?
Yeah.
How do I go after this dream? Well, just do it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and, like, I also feel like a lot of people, they put way too much value in, like, what other people think of them.
Yeah.
And that's why how people, like, end up, you know, 40 years old in a dead-end job that they hate, you know, doing shit that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, they just put way too much stock in what people think about them and be like, you know, oh, this dude's, you know, this X years old, like, he should be at this place in his life financially and all this stuff. And it's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, I could be making a lot of money doing this thing I hate. Or I could be, you know, making less money, but doing something that's actually really cool.
Yeah, that's really true. I think I think money influences a lot of people, and not because they really care about how much money they make or that they need that much money to do the lifestyle they want, but they do it because, well, money just, it's what people say you need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't be respected, you know, or my parents wouldn't like it if I didn't have money, you know, and it's just a lot of, like, image problems. Or I need this car because what would people think if I didn't, you know?
Yeah. And, like, I'm not going to say, like, money isn't important to an extent. Like, I like being financially stable.
Well, that's different than,
you know,
what we're talking about. Like, financially stable is a kind of a necessity, honestly.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, don't let it take over, is my point. And then, but I also feel like, you know, that factors into other, you know, places in other ways in people. Like, people get into relationships and have kids and stuff like that, like, way too young, or when they don't want to do it just because they feel pressured into doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or they don't follow their dream, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of bullshit to me. It's like, yeah, I would like to be in a relationship, sure, but, you know, I don't want to be, you know, dating someone that I actually don't really care about, you know, or, you know, that I don't think, like, I would want to spend actual amount of time with.
Yeah, just because, I don't like to rush that.
Yeah, because just because people want to be in a relationship, like, it's just that simple.
It's really, like, what you value, I think. Like, a lot of people value what other people think, or do you value, they have rooted values in what you want to do? What do you choose? I mean, because something's got to give up, and a lot of people are like, either you have to care what other people think, or you can be happy. And, like, you got one or the other.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it just, kind of boils down to that in the end. And I think it's a lot easier to kind of combat that kind of stuff when you just keep a good, you know, a couple people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want quality over quantity.
Yeah, you need a few good friends usually makes you a little happier than, like, one little more topic to talk about is the 3-beer rule came up during that exact same time.
Yeah.
Saves you every time.
It really does. I remember when we started, like, implementing that, because, I like to drink, like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I love beer. Like, I like drinking. Like, it's something I like to do. But, you know, like all things, you know, you gotta moderate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know, and, like, you know, like, it's not even, like, where it's a like, I'm trying to word this properly, and I'm just struggling right now.
I mean, we like to drink.
We like, yeah, to drink. I'm trying to word this without sounding like a complete piece of shit.
Well, I mean, everyone is, though. Everyone, I know, like, most people we know have a problem with, you know, they start having a few drinks, and next thing they know, they're like, wow, I'm 10 drinks in, and, you know, it's either you have one drink and you call it quits, or, you know, you've had drink with everybody all night, and you're, like, you know, shutting down the bar. You're sitting with the buddies around the table until dawn and be like, all right, you know.
Yeah. And, like, I'm not saying there's nothing really wrong with that every now and then.
Yeah.
But, like, when it's becoming, like, a regular occurrence and, like, and I know I'll still slip into that habit, too.
Yeah. Like an every weekend kind of thing. Or like,
yeah, it's like every weekend, like, you're just getting, like, shit-faced. And, like, it really kind of brings down my whole life, I feel like. And it's just because, like, I might not be, like, how do I say this? Like, it's
definitely other people that have it worse in that department do not.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, a complete drunk, still get up and go to work in the morning, but...
Yeah, like, I'm still getting up, like, I'm going to work, and, like, I'm doing all the things I need to do, but it's just, when I reel myself back in, you know, I start adhering to that 3-beer rule, or, like, even recently, like, I just honestly, like, for the past month or so, like, I really haven't been drinking much at all. Like, I've just had the occasional beer here and there with a buddy. Like, I've just noticed, like, my performance at work just got way better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started doing a hell of a lot better at work, you know. I reeled myself back in. I started spending more time by myself, which some people would say that's, you know, not necessarily a good thing, but I would have to disagree.
Yeah.
Because for me, that's just opening more opportunities for myself to, like I said, get back into the things I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what I like to do, and with where I'm living right now, like, most of my friends and stuff that I have here, they don't really like to do those same things. And, you know, and every now and then, like, I'll try to bring them in and incorporate them, stuff like that. Like, a while back, I took a group of my buddies out to this, like, rock gym we have in town. And, you know, it was fun and stuff, but that's really not their, that's not their thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's for me, like, I had a blast. I loved it. And they had fun, but, you know, they, like, immediately after we were done, they're like, so, we're getting shit-faced, right? I was like, that's not the point. The point of the day was for us to do something fun without us having to be drunk to do it, you know?
And the other thing I like about the 3-beer rule is, which makes it really fun, is that, I mean, the whole point of it is you only have 3 beers throughout the whole night, right? And it gets you to the point where you're feeling good.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know, you could still drive home. Like, that's the point. You want to be able to go home.
Yeah. And even if you still feel like you're like, ooh, I'm a bit tipsy. Like, you know, if you're like a lightweight or something, like,
you could,
scientifically, it takes 1 hour for a standard drink to wear off. So, like, realistically talking, you could just sit and wait for, like, an hour or two at the bar and then be good to go.
And it's really nice for when you go into events, like the certain events or things like that, concerts or big places where, you know, you still want to drink and have a good time, but you're on one of those, you know, cleansers or whatever, and you only have three. You still go home, still hang out with everyone, so you don't, you know. And it really, yeah, it kind of helps in that, too. It helps people like us to just check ourselves a little. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes, I know, you'll be out there at the bar, and if you aren't, like, because it's something you have to decide before you go, like, before you even step foot in the bar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sticking to the three-beer rule, because if you don't do that, like, one beer is going to turn into, like, 10.
It's kind of like budgeting your money.
Kind of. Because, like, and it's not even, like, you buy 10 beers, like, I'll be there, and someone will show up, like, oh, dude, let me buy you a beer.
Yeah.
And it'd be, and then, you know, and it just kind of, you know, spirals from there. You know, and any number of things could happen. You know, if for some weird reason a girl thinks you're cute and buys you a drink, well, now you got another drink.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Then if you walk in already establishing, like, yo, I'm having three beers, I'm going to hang out, and then I'm going home. Then, you know, it just smooth sailing from there.
It's a good time, too. It keeps the night short. Helps you get up the next morning.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing about it. I don't like not being able to get up the next morning and like, I got a lot of shit I need to do. Like, go hiking randomly and take pictures. And I can't do that if I'm tired.
Yeah. Or, like, be the days, like... do you remember...
Where we literally drank out of pots in front of the TV while watching Chuck Boy Love Girl. We couldn't move, and Biggins had to go to work somehow. What a champ.
Oh, my God.
He came home and we were in the exact same place.
No, it was... I think that might be the one
the
I was talking
about.
That's
the day we called in to work and you were like,
yep.
I'm not coming in. Drunk to drive to work. It's like 6 in the morning.
It was like my last week of working there too. Like I had already turned in my like my 2 week notice and everything. And my boss was like, "Well, what are you doing?" I went, "I'm moving." He's like, "No, you're not." I'm like, "No, I'm really drunk."
That was like the first day we heard that you were like. Leaving. You were supposed to leave that week, right? And then that got canceled or something?
Something
happened. Or was it the second time you were leaving?
I think it was the second time.
Because we did it twice.
Yeah.
Two goodbye parties for you was just... Hey, but times like that are great. You know what I mean? Like, every once in a while doing that is a lot of fun. And you should. Yeah. But it's when, like, you know, you... Like, I worked in a bar. And that's really where it kind of, like, became a thing for me where I would just not drink when I worked there. Because a lot of my coworkers, we drink every single night. And, like, yeah. I'd get done at midnight. I mean, I'd get done with work at 10, and then we'd drink till midnight. Maybe 1 if we went to a different bar. And like, we'd do that every night. There was no reason not to. I didn't have work till 4. And so you get into that weird, like, you know, rut mindset if that's what everyone's doing. And then so it really helps you... get into the other things in your life. And I think that moderation should be dealt with everything. You know, I'm like, I do it with social media a lot of times. I'll just turn off my social media for a whole day. I don't know, for a whole day, for like a whole month. And then just, you know, and then just turn it back on again later. And you know, I think that could work with everything, that moderation. So.
Yeah. I mean, too much of a good thing, just only going to turn bad.
Hey guys, it's Breakfast with Bacon. Thanks for listening. See you guys next time.